Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
If you want them to listen to you, you have to demonstrate that you are willing and able to listen to them.
Today on episode 424 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with Laura Sokola, the founder of Vocal Impact Productions. I'm going to ask Laura how to create influence, how to have impact that persuades other people, how she has built consistent revenue with her expertise, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Laura, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. We've produced over 400 episodes of Plateau Smashing discussions with top business leaders. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's David at smashingtheplateau.com. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Now let's welcome Dr. Laura Sokola. Laura is a leadership communication coach, trainer, author, and the founder of Vocal Impact Productions in Philadelphia. Her mission is to turn executives and other leaders into master influencers who get to yes and close deals. She has spent 20 years in leadership, communication, language, culture, and education, and has worked with clients across five continents. Laura is a coach for the TED Fellows Program, and her own TEDx talk, Want to Sound Like a Leader? Start by Saying Your Name Right, which has 5 million views. Sample clients include Comcast, Chubb, the U.S. Department of Commerce, IBM, and Women Against Abuse. She earned her PhD in educational linguistics from the University of Pennsylvania, where she was faculty from 2001 to 2013. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, David. It's great to be back.
So I know it's been a while since you were on, and we had a great discussion the last time you were on, which was way back, episode 141.
Yeah.
And I wanted to start off this discussion by doing a deep dive into what it means to be influential.
Influence is something that everybody wants because deep down, we all want to be understood. And we all have motivations, we all have visions, we all have things we want to accomplish. And in order to do so, we need people to get on board. We need their help. We need their buy-in. We need their expertise. We need their ability to spread the word. And so influence is a combination of both speech and action in that your ability to persuade, which is verbal reasoning and verbal connection, and the actions that you do will help people to change the way that they think, talk, and behave even when you're not there. And I think that's where real influence happens. So, you know, if you know when you're not home, as just a very simple example, that even though you're not there, your teenagers are not going to have a wild party and do whatever else that they know you wouldn't want, that's influence on a simple level, even though it's not about verbal persuasion. But you know that you can trust that they will behave a certain way because of the influence you've had. And you can expand that to your business realm and the professional world as well, knowing that things will happen because you've been a part and you've left your mark.
Yeah, the example with the teenagers actually doesn't strike me as being so simple at all.
Absolutely, you're right. That was probably not the right word, but one person, one focus at home, not trying to run a multi-million dollar company, people would think, you're right, that it should be simpler. It's so not.
Yes, it is so not. And it also strikes me in your description that influence, particularly where you're able to persuade other people to act in a certain way when you're not present, is not necessarily so simple. Whether you're paying that person or those people as employees, as contractors, or whether you're asking somebody for help where they're doing it without getting paid. It's not a paying relationship.
Right. No.
It's all still part of the same thing.
Yes. Yes. There's a whole different level of integrity involved when you're not just doing something for the paycheck.
So whether or not somebody is getting paid to act in a certain way, what's the secret to influence?
Oh, I wish there was a single secret, but if I had to pick one, I would say that the primary factor is really about authenticity in speech. And what I mean by that is that it's not just that I'm going to tell you what I think and be blunt about it, but that I'm able to be myself and be transparent with you, but in a way that will allow you to have my points resonate with you, that you'll be able to relate to what I'm saying, that you'll be able to see things in a way that you need to see them. So to use those same two examples again, the way that I talk to my 15-year-old is different in many ways from the way that I talk to my clients or the way that I'm talking to you right now. But both of those styles are authentically me. I just know that I have to talk to him in a way that's different from the way that I would talk to clients or colleagues in order for him to feel comfortable, take me seriously, allow me to finish my thoughts even without having him sort of check out. So what is it going to take? What side of me does he have to see? What part of me does he have to hear in order to let down the guard, let down the defenses, open up the ears, and be willing to fully engage? So when you can do that, stay true to who you are, but adjust your delivery in a way that will resonate most effectively with them, I think that's where it really begins.
Laura, how important is listening in being able to be authentic in your speech and have impact that persuades other people?
Critical. That is rule number one. If you want them to listen to you, you have to demonstrate that you are willing and able to listen to them. Because most stalemates occur when people are arguing and both deep down are motivated by the frustration of, quote unquote, you're not hearing me. You're not listening to me. And neither one wants to flinch first. So both are trying to verbally muscle their way to force the other one to listen. So if you can start, and I've done a variety of trainings and coaching around conflict management, and one of the first steps that I teach people is when you have this conversation, invite the other person to talk first. And then there's a series of protocols around how to listen so that that person actually feels like they have been heard and understood. And once you've established that, however long it takes in that conversation, then you can turn around and share some additional information that you'd like them to hear that might change their perspective or help them see things in a different way. But if you do that first, if you extend that open invitation, you'll be amazed at how people then turn around because they're so surprised that you're not fighting them. You're just listening. And even if you don't agree, they could say the moon is made of cheese. And if you turn around afterward and say, okay, I just want to make sure I understand, your understanding, your belief is that the moon is made of cheese. Do I understand that correctly? And if they say yes, okay, there's nothing else for them to argue about because you have proven to them that they have been heard. It sucks all the wind out of the sails of argument, at which point then, all right, now allow me to share some additional information. It makes for so much more civil and productive conversation. It's amazing.
So Laura, what's an example of a situation in a work environment where things might have turned sour very quickly, yet by using some of these techniques, persuasion happened and the right kind of activity followed the conversation?
I worked with a client who was technically brilliant and had a very bull in a china shop kind of reputation, shall we say. Very combative, very verbally abrasive, and was very black and white in her thinking that either I'm just clear and direct with you and efficient, or I'm nicey-nicey and pussyfooting around and walking on eggshells and wasting my time. So that was not palatable to her. So she just figured it doesn't matter if I burn every bridge I cross as long as I get across it. So, you know, we worked on some of these skills to help her understand where A, it's not black and white, where either you're pussyfooting around or you're just throwing grenades into the conversation. And then to understand some of the language involved to be able to still be clear, but not hurtful necessarily. and then to begin with the discipline of inviting the other person to speak first and demonstrating listening. And, you know, she came back, we worked on a lot of the very small skills involved in the framing of certain things to be able to be clear, but still diplomatic. And she came back for our next session and she had me laughing because she said, I can't believe it. You know, there's this guy in the office who we have fought in every meeting for the last 2 years. And for the first time we sat down and we had a completely productive and civil meeting. We got a lot done. There was no arguing and it just worked.
That's a great example. Great example. Now, I know that your mission is to turn executives and other leaders into master influencers who get to yes and close deals. What is a very common problem that people have when they seek you out?
One of the biggest problems that I frequently hear is what I will refer to as the expert's curse, where you're at the top of your game, you want to be CFO, or you are the technical expert. You know your numbers, you know your market, you know your materials, whatever it happens to be, but you don't know how to convey that to people who don't share your expertise. So you get lost in the weeds, you get too bogged down in details, you just go data point by data point, and you watch everybody else's eyes glaze over. They don't know what you're talking about. They're bored. They're not connecting with you. You're not getting through to them, so you're not going to have any influence. So my job then is to come in and help them understand which parts of what they're trying to explain are or are not relevant to the people who they're talking to, even though in their minds, as the expert, everything's relevant. To the listener, they're much more selective in what they are able and willing to process. And then helping them talk in a way that is more dynamic. Work on storytelling, work on public speaking or presentation skills, work on just being able to have a phone conversation where you don't sound like that teacher from the Ferris Bueller's Day Off movie, right? Where you're just talking and it's Bueller, anyone, and this is the next point on the agenda, and then we got to talk about that. And people don't think that they do that, but we all know we've heard someone who does. So being aware of where the difference is between how you think you come across and how you actually come across is the first step I need to take in order to then get them to where they want to be to get the results that they want.
And are there some simple ways that somebody can start having more of an impact if your audience's eyes are glazing over, whether it's a single person or a group?
Yeah. First, accept and acknowledge that, because most people, they'll get on a roll and they feel like, well, I really have to finish making this point and I have to explain this whole situation. So in the back of their mind, there's that little voice that says, hey, everybody's eyes are glazing over. This isn't working. But then there's the other voice on the other shoulder that says, but I'm not done yet. And that voice usually wins. You need to shift the balance of power between those two little voices. Don't just plow through and finish, even though you know you lost your audience 15 minutes ago. When you start to see that you're not connecting, stop. Ask a question. See what questions they might have. See what parts they'd like more information about, or just a temperature check. Are you following me so far? Or is there, just reconnect with them. Or if, be able to turn it around and tell a story. Give an example. Don't just push through on the original intended path, because it'll just lead you down into the abyss and you'll lose them forever.
Yeah. How hard is it for people that don't have a lot of experience doing interactive presentations to start to add some interaction with the audience, get some feedback from the audience, and be willing to alter their original plan, or perhaps even completely abandon their original plan?
So let's look at that concept of presentation and public speaking in general. To me, public speaking is any time that you're not just talking to yourself. If you've got an audience, whether it's an audience of one or an audience of 1,000, you're public speaking. And if you are sharing information, you are presenting.
Sure, like a one-on-one sales call is still a presentation.
Absolutely. It is, so you still have an objective and there's an outcome that you want, and you need to have influence in the course of that interaction to make sure that you get to that outcome. So if you see that someone's eyes are glazing over, it's not just that you're giving a conference presentation in front of 100 people during a breakout session. It's could be just in that conference room with 5 or 6 people, or to your point, on a one-on-one sales call. If you just sense that, gee, they've been really quiet for a while, or I'm getting a lot of kind of mindless on the other end, that should send up a flag that says, you know what, let me stop and do a temperature check. If you're giving a formal presentation in the middle of a conference and you're halfway through your slide deck and you realize everybody's asleep, you got bigger problems. But as far as somebody who is realizing that in the moment on something a bit more intimate, it's just have the confidence to stop talking, have the confidence to put a pause in whatever points you were preparing to make next and do that temperature check. Ask the question of if they're still with you, if there's anything they need you to clarify, if they have any questions, whatever it is, but get some feedback from them, because you will inevitably see where it is or is not working, and that'll help you pick a better path moving forward. And that goes back to listening.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Laura, you clearly have a lot of expertise in this area. I know you've been doing this for a long time, and you've worked with some pretty high-profile clients, as well as lots of other kinds of clients. And we'll talk more towards the end about how people can learn more about you and follow you. One of the things I'm also wondering is, as somebody who has deep expertise, what works for you for your own business in terms of particularly the business model and revenue model, and how do you approach trying to build consistent, stable revenue?
That is a great question with in that last part, as far as that recurring revenue stability piece. And that's actually something that I have been working on with some experimentation over the last year or so, where what's been working for me in gaining new clients in general is the ability to leverage speaking engagements, whether they're paid or unpaid. I find that for what I do, I can't just go to a networking event and exchange business cards and get business. That doesn't work. But if I have 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it is on stage to do some demo work with an audience, then I can give them an invitation to come to experience. They've experienced it with me there. They've gotten a taste, and then there's an interest. So leveraging those opportunities helps on a smaller level. But to really expand, I realize that what I need to do at this point is to create more online courses. So I've been, I actually just a few months ago signed on with Thinkific, the online course platform. And I've been going through their boot camp, and I just hired somebody to take some materials that I had created with regard to the basics of developing a leadership voice and how to really do a self-assessment and, you know, a do-it-yourself class of sorts. And we're going to be converting a lot of my materials into online courses. And then, of course, from there, part of my learning curve also is how to market and how to do the sales necessary to really drive traffic to that online course, because that's not where my expertise is. So that's part of my learning curve as a business owner.
Mm. So Laura, what was it that made you realize that you needed to do something differently that would help your business, particularly as it relates to consistent, stable revenue, that led you to start to build online courses? What was it that made you realize you needed to make a change?
You know, I don't think it was an epiphany of any particular magnitude. It was more just recognizing that while business has been great, and I doubled my revenues from 15 to 16 and from 16 to 17, meaning 2016, not $16, just to clarify that piece. You know, so business is building very well, but there's sort of a geometric rise, and then there's the exponential rise. And I'm really looking to make that exponential leap. And there's only, because I'm a coach primarily and a trainer, for everything that I do where my revenue is coming in, most of the time I have to be physically present. There's only so many hours in the day. There's only one of me. And there's only so much that I can charge. And I, you know, have a pretty decent scale of different service fees, depending on who and what is at stake. But there needs to be something else that can grow where I'm not there. I need something more of a security piece so that if something happens to me or I have to go away for a while, you know, whatever it is, that there is still revenue coming in. And the only way to do that is through something more automatic. So that's the online course.
Right, where you can deliver something in an asynchronous mode with clients.
Correct, correct.
Did you explore other types of revenue besides online courses?
I had started to create some of my own materials that people could purchase and download, not through a course platform per se, but webinars and audio programs, those kinds of things. And I, you know, it does generate a little bit, but it's not, it's the systems involved that are not as structured, are not as automatic. They're a bit more piecemeal as far as who discovers it and why. And I haven't promoted them as consistently as I would otherwise need to. So I think putting them in the course platform, in that structure, with the various sales mechanisms and funnels and things that are marketing mechanisms that go along with it, and having someone there to run all of that for me will allow me to really expand it and get the word out and drive the traffic in a way that I couldn't do myself and or couldn't do with a less formal structure around it. So having the systems and the structure is, I think, a really important piece.
Yeah. Laura, what kinds of questions do you think people should ask themselves if they're going through the same process of trying to figure out if I have a good business, I'm making money, my business is growing, yet it's totally dependent upon me being present in order to make money? Mm-hmm. What kinds of questions do you think people like that should ask themselves in order to figure out the best way to scale?
You know, one of the hardest choices for me and why I resisted for as long as I did was feeling like I do what I do because of my expertise. You know, I spent a long time doing research, getting my PhD, and building a niche expertise that is, there's not a lot of competition for what's in my little sub-niche. And so when I want people to get me, I didn't want people to get something quote unquote canned or overly simplified. So my fear was that I couldn't provide something that was accurately reflective of the quality of the service that I provide that would reflect appropriately on me, that would represent me with the quality that I want my clients to have, whether they're going to pay me, you know, $50,000 or $50. And it was really a question of being able to ask myself, and so others would need to ask themselves, what can I take of mine and format in a way that will still deliver something that's unique and quality, not just generic, and that will represent me, to figure that out. And then from there, you have to really say, what are my strengths and weaknesses in business? Do I like tech? Do I like online marketing and social media and all that stuff? Or can I bring somebody else to do it? So if you're going to try to do it all yourself, but you don't actually like or know how to do all of those things, that's, you're never going to get off the ground. So really figuring out what you're willing to do, what you can hire someone to do, or what you're not ready to do yet will determine whether or not you can even start to move forward in these areas.
Yeah, that's actually great advice. And thank you for sharing some of your own journey as you've started to move in the direction of producing online courses.
Sure.
Laura, whom do you know personally who has done a remarkable job of smashing the plateau?
You know, David, I think I'd like to share the story of a colleague of mine who is not your typical business case. She has Dr. Rose Martin, otherwise known as Sister Rose. She's a Catholic nun who has, about 15 years ago, established a middle school in Northeast Philadelphia that is a special needs school of a certain kind, where it's very small classes, but all of the children who are there were at risk of either failing out or being kicked out of school by the fifth or sixth grade. She said, give them to me. And she has put together this amazing program in, and she built a school. She started out in a community center and then finally was able to build a school in a neighborhood in Northeast Philly that was somewhere around 70 or 80% unemployment rate, if that gives you a sense of what the neighborhood was like, the family structures, the dynamics involved, the problems that would be up there. And not only has she built this middle school with amazing success, graduation rates, kids going to college on scholarships where they otherwise were not literate upon arrival, some of them, and going beyond that to figuring out what it would be necessary to expand services to the community at large to really turn the neighborhood around. So they've built GED classes for adults who hadn't graduated from high school to help them with their skills and their job readiness. She has gotten them English as a second language classes for those who are not native English speakers. She's built all sorts of these community service programs, computer literacy classes for adults, all the stuff that we take for granted, but are really the fundamental assumptions of what's necessary for a functional society nowadays. And she's just really turned that world around. It took her almost 10 years to get permits from the city to break ground. And she just would not relent until she made it happen. And the testimonials of the families in the neighborhood and the children are just miraculous. So, and it's not a Catholic school. It's just a private school. All the kids are there on scholarships. But it's really amazing to see what can happen. And, you know, you think of a nun as being sort of the little old lady. What, she's got a PhD from Penn. This woman knows what she's doing.
No slouch.
No, none whatsoever. And you wouldn't know it. That's the great thing, to talk to her. She's so unassuming. She's so sweet. But man, is she laser focused and brilliant. And there's nothing that's going to stop her from doing what she needs to do for those kids and for that neighborhood.
Well, thank you for sharing the story about Sister Rose.
Yeah. So if anybody's curious, check out the Hope Partnership for Education in Philadelphia, hopepartnershipforeducation.org.
Sounds great.
HappyHopePartnership.org.
And Laura, what's coming up in the near future for you?
Well, the online course is in the works, but also I am a couple of things, actually. I'm writing my next book, which will be coming out hopefully at the beginning of the new year. And that is Speaking to Influence. So keep an eye out for that. My previous book launched about four or five months ago, which is Maximize Your Leadership Influence. So I would encourage anyone to go out and take a look at that on Amazon. And there's a program that I'm launching here in Philadelphia, actually launched a couple of months ago, which is my Executive Speaker Lab. It's every other month, 8 people maximum if you're local, leaders who want to sharpen their public speaking skills. And this is not an expansion piece. This is a focused piece. But for an evening to come in and really get some laser coaching in a small group context to take your speaking skills from here and take it to where you want to go. So, and I've had a ton of fun with that.
Sounds great. And do you have a free gift you'd like to offer our audience?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to. If you go to my website, www.vocalimpactproductions.com/free gift, then you can download my 10-point checklist, Do You Speak Like a Leader?
And in addition to getting the checklist, what are other ways listeners can learn more about you and follow you?
LinkedIn. Lots is up on LinkedIn. I do have a Twitter account. I'm truthfully not a very active tweeter, so to speak. And I'm actually not on Facebook. So really LinkedIn is my online medium along with the website. If you go to the website in general, which again is www.vocalimpactproductions.com, on my, there's lots of videos that I've put up. There's this audio program, this podcast and other programs I've been on are up there. There's articles, all sorts of materials that are freely available to anybody who's interested.
Sounds great. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. Laura, I want to thank you for taking the time again to join us on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights with our audience. It's been great to have you. My guest today has been Laura Sokola, the founder of Vocal Impact Productions. Thank you again, Laura, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed how to create influence, how to have impact that persuades other people, and how to get to yes, close deals, and build consistent revenue. We've produced over 400 episodes of Plateau Smashing Discussions with top business leaders. Email me and let me know what you want to hear from our guests. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com. Please share this episode with friends and colleagues to help them smash the plateau. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.